Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. It is another gorgeous day, July the 7th, 2018. We're going to be looking at what is the way. What is the way? We'll talk a little bit about that. There's a lot of thoughts about this concept of the way, and hopefully I'll be able to help you a little bit. I love it when people catch on to a phrase like that, what is the way? And it's something that Lao Tzu talked about, Buddha talked about, and Jesus alluded to. So we'll talk a little bit about it here. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as my TV programs that you see on the Aspire website, are there because of the generosity, kindness, and the devotion of some very interesting people who have become sponsors and help sustain my efforts to serve humankind in this way, which is really very important, more important than you might imagine. So I am inviting you to join us to become a sponsor and to help us raise donations so we can pay for everything we need to pay for, like airtime and all of that other good stuff. The production of these programs to make them available for you. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you will see in the middle of the page the word support. It is a four-letter word, it seems. And if you click on that, a menu will ensue, and it will say, why support Aspire? And we answer, I think, all of your questions, show you where your donations go, and you can even sign up there, and it tells you all about all of the wonderful goodies you get for being a sponsor and for serving humankind in that way. It's a very, very important thing, okay? So go take a look and help us out. We need your support. The way. What is the way? I get questions about this all the time. So I thought it would be fun to take a look at them. The first question comes from Kent, and he does not tell me where he lives. Greg, I watch your TV programs and enjoy them immensely. I don't understand what you mean by the way. You speak of it quite often. What philosophy are you talking about, Kent? Kent, I am not preaching a philosophy here. That is not my motive nor my intent. I am not trying to teach you religion or philosophy in any way. I am trying to provoke within you a sense of the gravitas of what it means to live consciously, to live consciously in the way. The way is not a denomination. It is not a religion. It is the spirituality that stems from the basic nature or source that is. Now, I know that sounds rather elusive, and I don't mean it to, but there is no way to define the concept of the way through concept. There are no words for it. Once you have come to the place where total futility has reached its fervent point in you, and you are totally frustrated about your life, about what has gone on in your life, what is keeping you back from the things that you think you want to do or should be doing. Once you have come to that point where you are absolutely frustrated and you start to question the meaning of yourself, the meaning of your life, the meaning of this worldly experience, the meaning even of your own creation. Once you have started to really look at all of those things, you might feel a deep pull for insight. First, you will want answers. Then you will find out there are no answers. Then when you find out there are no answers and you still want insight or you want clarification, that's when your journey really begins. You see, the way is basically discipline. In the beginning, it's spiritual discipline. Then as you go on, the way starts changing into other forms and other dimensions. It starts moving into the way of the heart. You start to understand the nature of the heart. You start to explore through meditation and the discipline of formulating your life around the way, the discipline of non-duality. You enter into a place where great insight is revealed. There is something inside of you that has great insight. You know more than you will ever imagine through your mind. Your mind cannot deal with how much you know deep inside. You know beyond thought. Thoughts are very limited things. And when the time comes when you have moved from the pettiness of outer world and living by the body and its emotionality, and you've gone a little deeper into your being, and you start to explore silence through meditation, and you start to listen to the tones of silence, not the thoughts, because silence has no thoughts. You start to listen to the tones of silence, and they start resonating in you. You go a little deeper to where you are the tone. You are the resonation. And now there is no need for thought itself. Now something else has taken over. It's an impression, a deep, profound impression that you sense within you. Now you are starting to awaken to the way. You realize that your disciplines and the things you were doing are not religious morality, but rather they are the disciplines of a complex way in which we actually simplify our life and our thinking through the refinement of love. Love realized through silence. Now, once this is totally understood and you are awakened in this, nothing ever will touch you in a way where you have deep and profound questions any longer. The questions are irrelevant. They don't matter because they serve their purpose. All spiritual questions serve their purpose if they provoke you into silence, provoke you into love, provoke you into the disciplines of not doing those things that harm you. Now, once this is totally understood, the way becomes beautiful. It isn't a philosophy. It isn't a religion. It's, at best, a methodology. And it serves the greater purpose of love. And it lives inside of us in the stillness of our being. And then when you become simple, where you are no longer confused by the manner of thoughts and words and ideas, and you can sit in the solitude of your beingness, just as sitting there imbibing the beauty of all of that, you will find that silence is the answer to everything that ever existed in your life. That there really were no questions, that the only reason you and I are here is out of the nature of silence itself. And once that is truly understood and you are awakened to that, and now a new energy will come out of you, an energy that is realize through compassion, harmony. This is a very delicate thing. This is a new kind of mechanism, a new kind of living, a new kind of way that most people find either impossible or probably not available to them, or that it is some kind of fairy story, but it's not. It exists inside of you. It exists as you. It is you. And that is what makes it so very beautiful. So you ask me, what is this way you speak of? It is actually the joy of living. It is actually the beauty of living. It is actually a methodology of living consciously, precisely, in all that is that indwells you. And it takes discipline and courage to do it. And most people are far too tied into the physicality of the world, their body, their friends, their families, their objects, their things, to be able to discover this. But once liberation from those things, mentally and emotionally, and sometimes even bodily, has established itself within, that is when we find the way and we understand it deeply. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Susan in Las Vegas. What is the difference between the way and religion, Greg? You don't seem too religious in your TV programs, but you still are a minister, a teacher of religion, are you not, Susan? No, Susan, I am not. I am not a teacher of some religion or philosophy. Yes, I am a minister, but that doesn't make me a person of religion or even philosophy. How you interpret what comes out of my mouth is up to you. You can either hear the words that come out of my mouth or hear the words that are emitting from my heart. It's up to you. If you only listen to my words, you will be deceived. You will not understand what is really going on. You will not be able to awaken to what it is I'm truly teaching. You will only hear thoughts, and they will only be predicated on my, shall we say, intellect, your intellect, our mental acuity, and that will be as far as it goes. And that's what people do. People truly listen to a person like me and they think, well, I have no relevance with him. He has no relevance in my life. He has nothing that is going to make me profit more in my life, get me the things I want. That's what people are interested in. What can I get that I want from any single person? That's all it's about with most of us. So we miss everything that is deeply established inside of us that is important to our well-being, to our life. We are not of the way, and we are not much interested in that way. Only when you have come to a place, as I kind of said to Kent, where there is a great deal of futility in your life and something that is very quiet and subtle within, is banging away inside of you, wanting to come out. Something that is beyond your survival mechanism and your genetic nature. Genetics and DNA are formidable, foes in all of this. Your impulses to want things, your impulse to be loved. What would you do to be loved? People want adoration. They want affection. But this is not love. But think of all the things that people will do for this adoration and this affection. It's really all people want is reassurance that they are in some way important, that they are in some way safe, that they are in some way established in something where if they need help, they can get it. That's what family and friends and religion and philosophy all mean to people. They don't see what it's really all about this lifetime. They are only assuming they understand what their life is all about. So they miss. They totally miss. And in this missing, tremendous tragedies occur. Tragedies that, well, bring about kind of historic pain and sorrow in individuals' lives. The way is not religion. Religion tells you what to do. The way shows you the methodology of the heart. It just shows you livingness. It reveals life, not right or wrong, not good or bad. The way is the path of the middle. Jesus talked about it, to walk that middle path. Buddha talked about it, to walk that middle path. All these things are extremely important. And for the most part, we give names to philosophies and teachings and call them religions. And that's where it all goes haywire. That's where we lose it all. The way, it is the understanding of that which is and that which ain't, as I like to call it. That which occurs, happens, that which doesn't. That which reveals insight, compassion, and love. And that which doesn't reveal anything but one more idea, one more idea, one more thought. Another thought. You see, the difference between religion and the way is that in religion, there are many rules and thoughts. In the way, there is discipline and no thoughts. We are not leading up to something, some crescendo. Religion tells you if you do what they tell you to do, you're going to go to heaven, a place that, as far as I know, no one has been there and come back. I've heard stories and I hear rumors and movies and all sorts of things, but maybe all of that is just within. Maybe none of us ever really dies. Maybe there's something more to our life than all of that. Maybe. So once this is kind of understood within, that in the way, everything is revealed. It doesn't have a goal. I'm always a suspect of people who come into the practice and they have a goal. Women want their men straightened out, okay? That's usually what it is. And men are trying to figure out why they're working so hard and doing the things they do and why they can't get along with their woman or their wife or their children or their coworkers or whatever. They can't figure it out. So they often come into the practice. But the practice leads to the way. And once that way has been established within you, once that way has grown within you, once that way has brought about insight, you're never the same again. Nothing is the same again. And now you're living at a different level. You're living at the level of a supreme sense of awareness. This awareness gives you knowledge and the way. It gives you the ability to recognize that which most people simply ignore. They don't get it. We live in the way. We don't live in religion. We live as religion, but we live in the way. The way is all around us. It doesn't have to be invented. It doesn't have to even be interpreted. It is absolutely everywhere, and it is profound, and it is magnificent, and it exists as we exist, not as human beings, but as beings themselves. So once this is deeply understood and reckoned with, as it were, that's when you understand, Susan, what it means to have a sense of the heart and love. real love, which is so beautiful and goes beyond the expectations of our physicality. I hope that helps you. I really do. May this all serve you well, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Terrence. Believe it or not, in London, England. Wow. I listen to you and I have watched many of your programs. I commend you. Are you talking about Eastern philosophy? Terrence. No, Terrence, I'm not talking about Eastern philosophy. I don't understand this East-West thing. Western people think through mind. Philosophy to them is psychology. And they live in a certain kind of psychology, and that is paramount to them. In the East, it has to do with the teachings they know, the teachings that come from the prominent masters that have lived in India for hundreds and thousands of years. Their teachings are a little different. They're not just about psychology. They're about the depth of spirituality, the direct experience with something that is encountered from silence, from meditation, from what we call no-thingness. And once that has been realized or self-realized, that's when something of the other shore of another world, another life, lives within them. It lives within all of us, and it can be discovered. I am not talking about East and West. I am not opposed to East, and I'm not opposed to West. I don't have a philosophy. I don't have a religion. I'm nati-nati. Neither this, neither that. I feel that dualistic thinking causes a great deal of problems in our life. Our dualistic minds cause a great deal of problems in our life. Everything has issues, whether you're in the East or whether or not you're in the West. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand one thing. What is it that is keeping me from the nature of my being? What is it that is not allowing me to awaken to the nature of my being? That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You listen to the teachings of Buddha in the Dhammapada. They are magnificent. You listen to the Eightfold Path of Buddha. It is magnificent. The Beatitudes of Jesus are the most beautiful teachings one could ever hear. He lays it out. It is the blueprint for inner awakening. And I have done some TV programs, Terrence, on the Beatitudes. So they're right there on the website. Go take a look. They're very, very interesting. And they have nothing to do with religion or philosophy. The grand master of it all is Lao Tzu in the Tao. And those are very, very important things that he teaches. He teaches the direct path of the way. And I find his work just exquisite. Totally exquisite. So there you are. We've had a lot of great teachers who have come into this world to teach us the way. And whether they live from the planet in the East or the West, to me, is of no consequence. I'm only interested in the truth that will set us free. Whether it comes from the East, the West, the North, or the South, it matters not. What matters is the state of love that lives within you and your beingness in that love. That's all that could ever matter, and that's all that ever will matter. I hope that helps you. Thank you, Terrence, from London, England. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow. What a program. London, England. I'm very honored. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.